All right, welcome back to the Midwest Hinds Hunt podcast. We are back with Drew Berger going on Elk Adventure Part 2. Where we left off, we just got back to camp, hunted a draw the evening before, no luck. And let's go from there.
Yep. So, how early did we get up the next morning? Do you remember?
Oh, man. No. Honestly, I don't.
Well, so if I remember right, we got up and we were going to go back farther into that draw. So we got up and started hiking, and we got back there a ways and then started letting out some bugles.
Yep. Worked down and around that draw, kind of on that backside.
Yep. And started letting off some bugles, and eventually we got some bugles back.
Yep. And you know, we did a lot of things right on this trip. You know, like, think about that. So we were down low, it's early in the morning, thermals are still pulling down the mountain, and we're now on the backside, and we let out some bugles, and to our luck, right?
Mm-hmm.
We heard some bugles, and go ahead. We decided to start going up through the shit.
Yeah, and they were pretty far away when we first heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just started trying to cut some distance, and I don't remember how long it took us. It took us a little while. Just started heading towards that bugle and, you know, letting out calls every once in a while, and he would bugle back to us.
Would you say, like, you and I, this is kind of where we're different. Would you say you're more on the conservative side when you're moving through that shit?
Well, for me, it all depended on how far we were. You know, when we were a ways and we knew we were pretty far from him. So we were trying to haul ass through there and try and get to him as quickly as we could before mm-hmm. he'd be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hauled ass through there, kept bugling and making sure he was still where he was at. I think he moved around a little bit, but, we still had a good idea of where he was. We kind of circled around him so yep. we could get the wind in our face.
Yep. And that's the thing up there, man. Like, you know, thermals aren't too hard to understand. Because, you know, thermals just move up and down. They don't move side to side, left or right. You know what I mean? And in the mornings, you know, when it's still cool, they're pulling down the mountain. When it starts to warm up, your thermals start to rise. And then same thing happens in the evening. You know, once it starts cooling off, the shaded parts, they start pulling back down. So the thing about thermals are you really only have to worry about them going this way or that way. The wind, on the other hand, it can be doing one thing right here, but if you go up and over a ridge or down in this saddle or on the backside of this draw, whatever, the wind can be doing something completely different just like that.
Yeah.
So, and go ahead if you got something.
Well, luckily we had the thermals right and we had the wind right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started getting closer to him, and I was still bugling at him, and he'd bugle back. And I wish we would have known before we got too close that we didn't know he had, I don't know how many cows he had with him, but you know, he was a herd bull that had, you know, a decent amount of cows with him.
When this whole encounter happened and we laid eyes on the bull and the cows, there was probably 15, 20 cows with him. And, yeah,
and which we didn't know that until we got close to him.
Well, and so something happened when we were making our way towards this bull in his direction. You know, Reed was kind of behind me and you and your dad were probably what? 40, 50 yards behind us.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I heard, like, in my head, you know, I heard this bull off in this direction, and I'm like, man, let's go. And because we heard multiple bugles, right?
Well, at the time, I didn't know there was multiple. I thought it was just the one bull, but yeah, after the fact, I think there was a second bull over there.
There's a point where we're at kind of in these jack pines, and Reed's with me, and I turned around and I looked at Reed and I said, hey, we got to go. And I didn't know where you and your dad were, but I took off on a run with Reed in tail. And, you know, it kicks me in the ass every time, because I made a choice when we got up here to this deadfall patch to go through it. And I should have went on the left side around it, which goes up the mountain. You know, you go around the left side and you start going up and around. And what ended up happening was, at a certain point, you guys catch up to us. We're in like the middle of the deadfall and you guys are behind us, kind of just kind of getting into it. And we were bugling at this bull. He was bugling, and we come to find out there is another bull behind him pushing him and the cows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I made that mistake, and I'm telling you, man, because when these elk came by Reed and I, it was 40 yards, maybe 50 yards, maybe right there. They were going through the timber. If I would have made that choice to go around the deadfall, running through the jack pines, would have been on that higher side. This bull was pushing his cows up the mountain into that dark timber.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, what we learned later on in that trip, that running through these jack pines was a lot more efficient than monkey crawling through up over these just piles of deadfall. It's a spider web of dead trees. That's what it is. And if I would have known to just go around this, and I had the choice, I just don't know why I was thinking go straight through. And that's the first like encounter we had like with all this deadfall. And if we would have went up and around it, I'm just saying, I really think it would have went cow, 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 cow. And then there would have been a bull on the end of this line of freaking elk. And I'm saying probably could have had a shot on him.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong. I don't know. Something else could have happened. Might have not been had a good shooting lane. But what I'm saying is I could have been in a much better position to getting a shot than what I was, because there was no way in hell that you were going to send an arrow. You would have just ping ponged it off every gosh damn tree, you know?
Yeah. So in my head, I didn't think about him having cows with him. And so in my head, I'm like thinking we're going to bugle this bull into shooting range, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you and Reed were ahead of us, me and my dad were staying, you know, back behind you guys so we could call and hopefully not have to get him to move as far
mm-hmm.
to get to you guys. So I thought we had a good shot at it. But I think between me bugling and then that other bull behind him, you know, we were both closing in on him from two different sides, and
he was getting pinched.
Yeah. And he said, I'm getting my cows and I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yep.
The only thing that I thought we might have messed up on besides that, when we were moving through that deadfall, and we were within, you know, 100 yards. I thought you and Reed were still moving a little too quickly through there, trying to get to him, because I knew we were getting close, and you and Reed were still kind of hauling ass through there. And we, which the only problem I had with that was we didn't have hardly any cover. I mean, it was all deadfall and dead trees and shit. So we didn't have much cover. So they could see us moving through there pretty easily. And I know some of the cows saw us. I don't know if he ever saw us, but I know some of the cows did. I just wish we would have known he had cows with him sooner.
Yeah.
Well, and I think things could have went differently.
And I also think, you know, my whole thought on it was, man, when I was standing in the middle of that shit and I realized, I'm like, oh man, I fucked up. Like that was like, we were getting caught up, you know, packs getting caught. You're trying to be quiet, but you're trying to get through it so you can be on the other side of it and have an opportunity. That was my thought. I'm like, man, I got to get on the other side of this crap before this bull comes freaking running by here or whatever. And it's also one of those things, like when we moved to that second spot, it was a lot thicker area, lot more trees, lot more brush. It's you can't see as far, you know, and yeah. It's kind of one of those deals. Like you're saying, like you thought he didn't have cows. I honestly didn't even think about it. I'm like, you know, it's one of those things like you don't know. You just don't. And
so
go ahead.
They were right. You know, the deadfall ended and then there was jack pines after that and they were down in the jack pines. And so we couldn't see a whole lot. It was fun. It was just, we don't have enough experience in these situations to know the right things to do.
Nope. You know,
I didn't think we did a bad job, but
I didn't.
I think there's a couple things we could have done differently and might have helped our chances.
100%. And, you know, if we would have, you know, it's after the fact. If you look at that situation, like we're sitting here now talking about, you knew, knowing that we knew he had cows and he was getting pushed on the other side and getting pinched by us, you knew he was going to take that herd up and over the top of that mountain.
Yeah.
You know, if we would have known, don't try to freaking go straight through this crap, run around it, you know. Who knows? Could have arrowed a bull.
Yeah, and maybe if I wouldn't have... Well, because we got probably 100 yards from him, and that's when he quit bugling. He quit bugling back to my bugles.
Yep.
And so maybe then I should have realized, hey, maybe let's do more cow calling instead of bugling.
Right.
And maybe that would have gave us a little more time.
Well, and the thing is, too, we had no idea what was going on the other side of that bull. We have no idea what that other bull was doing. We don't know how big that other bull was, you know. And it was, you know, earlier on in September, you know, that's still first half. Who knows if the bull that he was getting pushed by was bigger, was meaner, and he was just like, nope, I'm taking my cows and getting out of here. I'm not doing this. We don't know the situation on the other side. So it's hard to say what we could have done differently, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he might not have been, you know, the herd bull. He might have just had the cows at that time. He might have been the herd bull at that time, but, you know, in... Who knows, in two more weeks, he might have had no cows. And
right. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, and that happens like in early September, you know, you'll get these, how do you say it, lesser bull, I guess, like a bull who thinks he's the herd bull. And he'll round up his little group of cows. And then within, you know, a week, here comes the the meaner, bigger bull, or not even necessarily bigger, just the meaner bull, who's going to swoop in and take this dude's cows because he knows he's going to get his ass whooped.
Yeah.
You just don't know. But all I'm saying is that bull would have looked really freaking good strapped to the back of a pack.
I don't. Yeah, you and Reed saw the bull.
Oh, yeah.
That never got eyes on him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what your definition of a herd bull is or other people's, but by God, that was a herd bull, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Man. But, okay, so that happened, you know. Talk about a kick in the dick. And last thing we see are these cows and this bull going off into the dark timber. And actually, there was a little satellite. I don't know if you saw him. He wasn't very big, man. He was just a tiny guy chasing them. And he wasn't, yeah. I don't think he was the bull screaming at him or anything, but he was just kind of tailing that herd like, oh, I'm gonna keep going, because when I stopped and I was looking up, he just stops and turns and looks, and I'm like, you little fucker.
Yeah, that was after we got back together, and then we went up that.
Yep.
Started going up that mountain and got up there and then saw that other little guy trailing him.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's go from there. We regroup to get together, and we decide to, I wouldn't say push the herd, because they were moving. We followed.
Yeah, we weren't going to catch up to them.
No, we followed them up the mountain and into that timber patch, really, that dark timber.
Yeah.
And where do you want to go from here? Because we don't know exactly where they went. If I had to, looking hindsight, when they went into that, they went up, over, down, and probably towards that private ground.
Yeah.
Dude, do you remember, we were still close to them, because remember when we were in that timber and we could smell them?
Oh, yeah.
You know you're doing something right when you see fresh sign, you saw them, and you can just smell them. And I don't know how to explain that smell. It's almost like you're, like around here, if you were to go to like a freaking cow farm, and they just have this smell.
Yeah, they definitely have a distinct smell to them.
Yeah. Okay, so take it from there. I gets a little fuzzy on my end when we get up there. Did we stay outside that timber first before we decided to go in? Like, you take it, because my memory's fuzzy.
Yeah, we got up there, and at that point we weren't hearing any bugles, and I think we just sat down and took a break for a while before we moved in through that dark timber.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of got to the edge of another draw on the other side. But really, that was basically the highlight of the trip. We didn't really get into a whole lot after that.
No, I mean, that was definitely the best opportunity we had by far. But, you know, how do I say that? When we were in there, we kind of, I wouldn't say lost our minds, but we kind of quit being, like we've talked last night, like intentional. We almost were just like, okay, where should we go next? Do we want to go this way? Do we want to go that way? Like, we always kept the wind and thermals in mind, but I don't know. I just felt like we got caught not doing the best thing we could have done in the moment. You know what I'm trying to say there?
Yeah. And one of the problems is we quit hearing bugles. That bull, he either moved off too far or just shut up, and we didn't hear a whole lot of bugling after that.
Right. And by this time, yes, 100% known fact, that muzzle loader season was in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure there's parts of units where that is not a problem. Like, I'm sure there's guys who've been like, yep, nope, I go this time every year, never heard a muzzleloader once. And then I'm sure there's other units and certain parts that get hammered by it. And I feel like when we heard that first muzzleloader, boom, go off, we all stop, you turn, you look at each other, and I felt like the elk went silent.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's not saying that they're completely gone, but what that is saying is they were a lot more, they either moved off or they just shut up. And
yeah, and
go ahead.
It's hard to find them whenever they quit bugling.
Yes, it is. And I can't remember right. Did we have that encounter? Remember when that muzzleloader was on the other side of that mountain and we were back down in the draw moving around? Did that happen first or did that cow happen first? I want to say cow.
That I don't remember.
I don't either. Well, hang on now. Let's think about this. Because we also had to run Reed in town. The cow happened without Reed, and so did the muzzleloader instance.
Yep.
Okay, so you know what? Let's get. Go ahead.
The muzzleloader was in the. I know that was in the morning.
Yep.
One day.
And the cow was in an evening, so we might get this flip flopped back and forth. But okay. At a certain point in this trip, I don't know where it happened. Reed fucked up his knee. I want to say it was somewhere around that time frame with that encounter with that bull, if it was before, during, or after.
I think it was the next day, maybe, when yep. we were moving through some deadfall.
So Reed got banged up, and, you know, he was a trooper, kept going, but you could definitely tell that took an effect, and that would have an effect on anybody who's carrying a pack with a bum knee through the deadfall wonderland of Colorado.
Yeah, and I forget how that worked, but he had to leave early as it was because of time off for work.
Yeah, he has not yet reached psychopathic level where you tell everybody to kick rocks and you're not doing this or that because you're going elk hunting in Colorado.
Yeah.
But, okay. So at a certain point in this trip, we get a day where you and I got to have a little bit of fun shooting some grouse.
Oh, yeah.
By far, by far the dumbest bird on the planet. I mean, 15 yards, doesn't move. So you and I, remember, those guys went back to the truck. I can't remember why they went back to the truck. Can you?
Well, I think that was when we had to take Reed to the airport.
So did we already knew we had to take Reed to the airport before? Yeah, we did. Okay, so they're heading back to the truck. You and I went up. We had we didn't have an encounter. We heard a bull. Remember when they went back to the truck and we went up a different yeah. trail. We had an encounter. I don't know why I keep saying encounter. We heard a bull. We kind of went up, uneventful. We're making our way back to the truck. We shoot some grouse, fun. And at this point, it starts just pouring.
Oh, yeah.
Was it just rain? I can't remember if there was anything else there. Was it just rain?
I think that time it was just pouring on us.
Yeah, and it got pretty chilly, and it did not stop raining the entire day.
Yeah.
So, call it a day loss, call it what you want, but we knew we had to get Reed to the airport at a certain time, and what we ended up doing was forfeiting that day. We took Reed a day early, because remember, he was really supposed to leave on like a Friday, but that was on like a Thursday.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we left camp as is. We got to the trucks, and that's when we determined, you know what, let's just run Reed into town a day early because we're pretty much losing a day to weather.
Mm-hmm.
So we get into town, finally get Reed a hotel, and man, do I feel sorry for that hotel. We have been eating, you know, snacks, mountain houses, peak refuels, whatever you call them. And boy, oh boy, when we saw some real food in town, we did not miss that opportunity. We did take advantage of that opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I ate 6 sandwiches from McDonald's. And was going to eat a 7th, but you were going to save it, and I'm pissed off that you didn't eat it. And the mayonnaise on that sandwich started cooking the next couple of days, and I was not very happy.
Yeah.
But
I thought you were still going to eat it.
I almost told Rick I was about to, like, cut that sandwich in half, like, hamburger way, like, slice it and eat it. But
that one might have messed you up a little bit.
Yeah, oh well. So we get Reed to his hotel, and we smelled like a freaking hog pen. It's not hard out there to start stinking real bad. So for those who are thinking about doing elk hunts, scent control is out the window. If you want to know what you use for scent, you use the wind. You hunt the right way.
Oh yeah, you have to.
Mm-hmm. Because it does not matter. You are going to stink horribly. So we in this hotel, we all grab showers. I showered with a freaking bar of hand soap that was meant to wash your hands with. I didn't care. What did we do? We left in the middle of the night, correct?
Yeah, we drove back out there that night.
Yep. We got Reed tucked into bed, and we headed back up the mountain. And yeah, it wasn't raining in town, but when we got back to where we were hunting, it was still raining.
Yeah.
And what'd we do? We grabbed my truck, because remember, I was parked further down the mountain, and we all piled into one earlier on. Remember that?
Yep.
Okay, so we are mudding the side of a mountain through ruts, trying not to send a truck off an edge. And get back, and we just decided instead of hiking in to camp, because, you know, the only thing, your camp is not glorious. You know, it is a tent and your sleeping bag and whatever food you're not eating for that day and whatever water you have down there, right? We had packs, bows, we had everything we needed. So we kind of decided, you know what, let's not go in that night and then go all the way down to camp just to hike back up it the next day. We got up early, you know, that was a cold night. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I almost climbed in your guys' truck and cuddled with whoever was asleep in the back seat. I'm just saying, that was a bit chilly.
Yeah, it got a little cold that night.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so from there, next day, it is just you, me, and your dad.
Yep.
You want to go ahead and take it?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be exact, because I'm trying to think about it as we're talking, and it's fuzzy, man. It is.
Yeah, well, and we weren't hearing a lot of bugles. We would hear one. We wouldn't hear anything middle of the day. We'd hear, you know, maybe one or two in the morning and try and go after them, but then couldn't get anything to respond to us. So it'd be kind of a dead end. And then,
and hindsight's always 20/20, you know, should we have packed up? Should we have moved? Maybe.
Yeah. Cause we might've, those elk might've, you know, moved, up and over the mountain, you know, and been gone for, you know, a week or two before they moved back in there.
Right. And especially with muzzleloader season and all the shots you would hear, hard to say what we should have done.
Yeah, those elk were
in the moment
all around the mountain, and it was going to be tough to get back on them. And so I remember, I don't know if it was the next day or 2 days later, whatever it was, we were starting to maybe move back to camp, that evening and heard a bugle down in that draw towards camp. And so we started heading down that way. We had heard that bugle a couple times. And as we were moving down there, is when all of a sudden there was a cow, you know, 40, 50, 60 yards from us. Now, I don't know if that cow was moving towards us because of the calling we were doing or what was going on. But all of a sudden we're, you know, heading towards that bugle. And then all of a sudden that cow was freaking right in front of us.
Yep. And, you know, I'm going to chalk it up to another buck up by me. I am standing. So you're in front of me. Your dad's behind me. I am standing in the window with this cow at 60 yards. Why? I do not know. I did not knock an arrow and shoot this cow. And only thing I can say is, man, I had it so gung-ho that I was going to shoot an elk, a bull.
Yeah.
And call it pride, call it selfishness, I don't know. But I should have shot that cow. It was, had all the time in the world to range, dial the sight, draw, and shoot this cow, and I chose not to. And regrettably, that, come to find out, that would have been our last shot at an elk on this trip.
Yep.
So, fast forward, we make our way down to this, trying to find where this elk is, this bugle. No luck. And
yep.
Kind of got caught in that situation where we're back. Was that the same day we sat the, help me out here, the wallow down in the bottoms in that draw?
I think that was a different day.
Okay. Well, whatever day it was, I'm telling you, man, it blends so much, but I'm just trying to get to the points where they were somewhat eventful. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, because, I mean, we had a couple of days in there where we didn't, not a whole lot happened.
No. But, so, there's an evening, not even an evening, it's kind of like the hot, it's probably like, what, 2-3 o'clock-ish, right around there. Probably closer to like 2. When we decided to sit up on that water, that wallow.
Yeah.
Or am I wrong?
No, we sat there pretty much all afternoon, I think.
Yeah, so we sit up on this wallow and had a moose come by, kind of. He was right next to us.
Yeah.
I saw a few cows. I don't know what they were running from, but they were hauling from the private towards the public, kind of down and around the side of the mountain is where I saw him. And I only got to see him for a few seconds, but sat this wallow, uneventful. What'd we do? Were we back at camp after that? Because we were already down there and we sat it pretty much the entire evening.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so back to camp. We're nearing the end of this trip.
Say that again?
We're getting towards the end of this trip, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, go ahead from here. Take it. What do? We go up. Don't we?
Do what?
I said take it to the point where we decide to go up one of those other trails to where we talked to those other guys at back at the trailhead. Remember we sat that other wallow up top?
Yeah.
Take it from there because we're pretty much nearing the end of it, aren't we?
Yeah. We sat that other water hole just for a couple hours in the afternoon, if I remember right. Because it had, you know, somewhat fresh elk sign in there, but we never had anything come in, never heard anything. And I think that might have been the last full day of hunting we had.
Yep.
And then, you know, hike, because we were a couple miles from camp at that point. And then, you know, started hiking back to camp, and I don't think we had heard any bugles that evening. And then we had the next morning to hunt, and that was basically it. And then we had to hike out and get out of there. And that night, because we had heard bugles at night some of those other days, but that last night, I don't remember hearing any bugle.
No.
And next morning, we didn't hear anything, so we just packed up camp and got out of there.
I think at that point, you know, defeat was setting in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, morals were not very high, and we decided to give it one last go up top, uneventful, and then after that, we pretty much boogered out of there. We had to, you know, you got jobs we got to be at. I know I called in the next day. I'm like, yeah, no, I ain't going to be there.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, that was about it.
Yep. So, you know, over the counter in Colorado is not an easy hunt. You put all those factors into it, you know, hunters, deadfall, not knowing, you know, first time out there. It is very hard to fill a tag in those circumstances. And we came close a couple of times.
Yeah, especially not really knowing what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, and
I mean, that was all of our first time elk hunting.
Yep. And, you know, looking back, you learn a lot, and all you can do is take that information and put it towards your plans for the following year. And
yep,
that's what we're doing, you know. We're taking all the mistakes we made, things we could have done different, things to be more prepared, have better game plans, and we are going to incorporate that into this year's hunt.
Yep.
And this year, we're going a little later, going to go kind of more towards that peak rut action, I guess, you know, the 20th through the 30th. You know, there's going to be a whole nother set of challenges, whether it's other hunters, and I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be hunters, because like we said, this is the last year for over the counter elk in Colorado.
Yeah. I don't know if there'll be more hunters than there typically has been, or if it'll just be about the same. Hopefully it's about the same and there's not just an overwhelming amount more people.
I hope not.
That go out and buy tags.
I hope not.
But I guess we'll find out. Hopefully going a little later helps us, and hopefully they're bugling more. Hopefully the weather, it's not hot or anything. Hopefully it cools off pretty good.
And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we do have going for us this fall in September.
Yeah.
There's a lot of positives to the time we're going, and there's negatives, don't get me wrong. But, man, we are going to do everything we can to kill one of these elk.
Yep.
Yep. We know
where we're going to start out. Hopefully there's some elk in there and we don't have to, you know, move around a whole bunch.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing. Like we talked, you know, we're going to get together. You better be shooting your bow. You got to be running. You got to do the training. And we're going to get together. We're going to put the plan on paper. We're going to make notes. And we're going to have it all mapped out 100% better than we did last year. And not saying it's going to go perfect, because it's not. It's not. If nothing goes as planned out there. But we are going to be a lot more, what's the word for that, prepared, and have plans and little things we can do to save time and be in the woods more hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And
yeah, I definitely felt like I was a little underprepared last year.
aren't we all?
I was just so fucking busy leading up to it.
Oh, yeah, man.
Didn't have a whole lot of time.
Well, it's tough. It's like this podcast. You know, I got friends and buddies who are like, dude, so are you doing any more podcasts? I'm like, dude, I have a 6-month old. I work 6 out of the 7 days a week. I run 21 miles a week. That's the goal. 3 a day every day. I'm lifting every day. I'm shooting every day. You know, don't get me wrong. I love recording and sitting down and having fun and shooting the breeze with everybody. But I don't have the time. And I'm trying to make the time for it and start this back up. But it's tough, man. It's tough when real life is a thing and you get busy. And that's the same thing that happens during elk season. Like, training, it's a hard thing to do and make the time for all this and be successful doing it.
Oh yeah.
And you can only control so much, man. You can train all you want to, but you can't really train for the elevation when you're not living in Colorado. When you come from the Midwest like us, that's something you take on stride and you freaking deal with it how you handle it.
Yeah, and it'd be a little easier if we had, like, you know, 2 full weeks where we could get out there and have a couple days to get acclimated.
Yeah.
It would definitely make a difference. But when I can only take a week off of vacation this year, it makes for kind of a short trip.
Right. Well, that's like my situation. I burned a week first the January of the year, you know, when Royal was born, and I used a week there. So it's tough. Like, I'm using my last full week for elk, and I'm probably going to get an unpaid week come November around here for deer, or use extra days. And just, you know, it's one of those things. You only get so much time off from a job that you got to use it when you can and make the most of it.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, we're going to see what happens. It's all you can do.
Yep. We still got to do some deer podcasts too.
Oh yeah. No, I know, man. I got a list on my whiteboard in here. Like, dude, I recorded a turkey podcast with Bryce and Colton, and I ain't dropped it yet. I can't. I don't have the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to do it when I can and just push it out as relevant as possible, you know?
Yeah.
So we're doing everything we can to prepare for this trip. And man, oh man, do I hope we come back with some full coolers.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah. One thing we did leave out, Rick is joining us again.
Yeah, that's the plan right now.
God, I hope it sticks, man. He's good to have on the mountain. He's a good morale booster, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, he is.
Someone's got to keep you and I from fist fighting on top of that freaking mountain, man. It happened a few times, man. Remember with that muzzleloader, dude, you and I were getting into it and we were disagreeing on things and we had it out and we sat there and boy, did we get pissed at each other. But you know what? That's part of it. There's going to be frustrations and shit's going to happen. You know what? You just brush it off and don't hold a fucking grudge and move on.
Well, we know from how long we've fucking known each other. We knew we might go at it a little bit.
Oh yeah. No, there's going to be disagreements in the way you do things. There's going to be different. Just, do you feel one way? I feel the other. But no, it's going to be a blast, man. I think we're going to get it done. What do you think, buddy? You want to say hi to Drew real quick?
What's up, Roy?
Yep. But no, man, it's going to be a blast, and I can't wait to get you in town so we can do some shooting and do some game planning and some mapping and try to get something set in stone and have every backup possible and do what we can to be successful come September.
Oh yeah.
Hey,
it'll be a good time.
Oh yeah. It's only a matter of time before we're backpacking around a little 2-3 year old in the mountain too with us. So be prepared for that. He already weighs a lot at 6 months. I really don't want to, I really hope he starts thinning out. Cause golly,
he's going to be a heavy load.
Yeah, he is. But all right, man. Well, I know you got things to do today. I got things to do today. Lexi's painting the kitchen / getting rid of couches / moving in a new couch today. I got this new 3D target that I just want to shoot at all freaking day, man. What'd you say?
Yeah, I gotta.
What'd you say, Drew? What do you got?
I gotta see if I can get my freaking mower running.
Telling you, dude, did you clean the carburetor or no?
Well, why don't you drive out here and get her going for me then?
Yeah, you're just a hop and a skip away. I'll be there in 20.
Yeah, perfect.
But all right, man, I think we're good. I think we covered the trip pretty well. I wish I could have got your dad in here a little bit. But you know what? We'll definitely have him in here for the next one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but all right, man, I think that's it.
All right, man.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. I'll see you in a couple of weeks, okay?
Yep, sounds good, man.
All right, brother.
All right, later.
Later. All right, guys. That does it for the recap on elk last year. You know, like I said, we're really going to try to do everything we can to be successful. You know, not make mistakes. Use as much time as we possibly can to be productive in the elk woods. So stay tuned. You heard Drew say it too. We got some whitetail stuff we got to get to, man. Guys have been busy around here. You know, I hope it's a great season for everybody, and especially everyone with an elk tag. I hope they get punched, man, because this is the last year for a lot of the over-the-counter things, and, you know, some guys don't have the money to be buying preference points and applying for these states that are so goddamn expensive. It's crazy. But you know what? We're going to see what happens come September, and we're going to keep you in the loop. Shoot your bows, be running, do what you got to do to be successful. All right. We're out of here. Thanks. December 21st, it changed my life forever. He was coming downwind, he ain't even noticed me. I stood up and grabbed my bow, he made his way down through the funnel. I drew back, I'm locked, I'm ready to rock, it ain't no turning back. It's like a meteorite when it took flight, look like a shooting star. Let my arrow fly, then he died within 40 yards. Send my thanks to heaven, cause I have to give thanks to God. Media waited and then put out within a couple days. Couple hours go by, I was already at 20K. Views steady going up, knocking out milestones.